Well, hopefully the first part of the meeting was captured for audio purposes later on.
The minutes will at least reflect the passage
of consent. The minutes will reflect, yes, okay. The passage of consent and opening comments. We're now at the portion of the agenda where we're dealing with my agenda items, TC. There are a number of them. They're mostly related to the grain elevator relicensing period, which hits about this time of year. TC1, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-453, granting the request of New Salem Farmers Union Elevator Company to discontinue business at New Salem, North Dakota.
Second.
The commission received this request to discontinue business. The facility has been leased and will be licensed by CHS, and there are no outstanding storage obligations.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC2 is the follow-up motion to that. I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-235, granting the request of CHS, Inc., St. Paul, Minnesota, to operate a facilities-based grain buyer, to operate as a facilities-based grain buyer at New Salem, North Dakota.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC3, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-454, granting the request of Rugby Farmers Union Elevator Company to discontinue business at Towner, North Dakota.
Second.
This elevator has been closed. It's no longer needed, and the facility has been sold for private use.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-496, granting the request of Trinidad Benham Corp., Denver, Colorado, to discontinue business at Cummings, Courtney, and Pillsbury, North Dakota.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I can describe it in the next motion. TC5, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-498, granting the request of Trinidad Benham Corp., Denver, Colorado, to operate as a facilities-based grain buyer at Pillsbury, Courtney, at Pillsbury and Courtney, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
This relates to the previous motion. The Trinidad Benham is obtaining this facilities-based grain buyer license, which would indicate that they're doing the warehousing activities as licensed through the federal government.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
TC6, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-456, granting the request of Dakota Quality Grain Cooperative, Partial North Dakota, to discontinue business at Stanley, North Dakota.
Second.
The facility has been sold to Midwest Milling. It's empty, and there are no outstanding storage obligations.
All in favor?
Aye. TC7, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-464, granting the request of Country Grain Co-op, Inc., Eldridge, North Dakota, to discontinue business at Windsor, North Dakota, effective August 1, 2011.
Second.
This is a facility that is empty and will be closed. There are no outstanding storage obligations.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC8, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-458, granting the request of Dakota Dry Bean, Inc. to operate a 9,234-bushel grain warehouse at Devil's Lake, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
This company currently operates warehouses in both Lansford and Crary.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And TC9, I move the commission issue a notice of filing and notice of intervention deadline in Montana Dakota Utility Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for its portion of the Big Stone Air Quality Control System Project, case number PU-11-163, and in Otter Tail Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for its portion of the Big Stone Air Quality Control System Project, case number PU-11-165.
Sorry.
So this sets a notice of filing and notice of intervention deadline in this particular case. This is one that I believe we've talked about a bit before, but basically what the two companies are proposing is to retrofit the existing Big Stone unit with some air quality control systems that would have been done as part of the Big Stone 2 upgrade project, but now are being looked at individually apart from that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kalk.
Good morning. I have one item today, item BK1.
I move the Commission approve the order in Montana Dakota Utility Company's amended application for authority to defer and amortize costs related to the manufacturing gas plant remediation work completed in the southeast corner of the intersection of South 10th Street and East Front Avenue in the city of Bismarck, North Dakota, case number PU-10-589.
Second.
Basically, what we have is the September of 2010, MDU filed an application for authority to recover costs related to its manufactured gas plant, MGP, remediation project in the corner of South 10th Street and East Front. The plant was remediated to reduce environmental risk to acceptable levels and then sold in 2007. The total cost less the sale of the property was approximately $907,000. The company proposed collecting the cost, initially proposed collecting the cost over a five-year period with no interest rates or rate-based treatment. In February 22nd of this year, MDU filed an amended application to amortize the cost over 10 years beginning January 1st, 2008 with no interest or rate base. In addition, customers will not immediately be billed for the cost. However, if MDU files for a rate increase before the costs are fully amortized, the company would seek recovery during the next for the annual amortized expenses as part of a test year cost of service. March 9th, we had a notice of opportunity for hearing. July 11th, staff provided us a recommendation that we approve this amended application. And in July 20th of this year, the commission held an informal hearing. What was interesting about this case is that there's obviously a significant time lag between when the costs were initially incurred in 2007 till when we first saw this. So one of the questions that I asked during the informal was, you know, why wasn't this applied for immediately in 2007? The company's response was initially they planned to file this as part of a general rate case, but then in 2008 they acquired Intermountain Gas and they thought they could perhaps save enough money to avoid a rate case. So they should have filed this in 2008. That's why our amortization period starts in January of 2008. And as a result of this, there actually will be no impact to ratepayers unless it goes to actual rate case. And just because it goes to a rate case, once again, doesn't mean there actually be a cost, because we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. The order actually contains two provisions. One is the amended application is approved. And the second is future requests for cost deferral shall be made immediately after the costs have been incurred, and then only when current earning levels are not sufficient to cover these kind of unusual and extraordinary costs. So based on all that, I believe this to be in order.
These old manufactured gas plants are something that utilities across the country are dealing with, and this is not the first time that we've dealt with this particular issue in North Dakota. Xcel had a Grand Forks site after the flood that needed to be remediated. So it's an ongoing issue, and it usually relates to predecessor companies and the legacy of these old manufactured gas plants, and it's something that each state's been dealing with, and I think Brian did a good job of explaining how we'll be handling it on a going-forward basis.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. KC1. I move the Commission conditionally approve revision number 20 to surface coal mining permit number NAFK-9503 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to add 16,924.1 acres to the permit, update the legal and business entity information, and adds baseline resource information and mining and reclamation plans for the added acreage. I also move the approval of self and collateral bond documents that increase the bond amount and bond area for the consolidated bond area at the Falkirk Mine.
Second.
Unlike many previous motions similar to this, this is not your average revision. if for no other reason, the fact that it involves nearly 17,000 new acres. This revision number 20 was applied for last September by Falkirk to add this nearly 17,000 acres and to update, of course, all of the baseline information, the reclamation plans, mining plans, all of those things. It was reviewed, of course, by the Reclamation Division staff, and they are recommending approval today. Upon approval, this will make the permit area over 29,000 acres large. The coal mining will occur on much of the area, but also the other, of course, coal mining uses will be involved in other parts of the area, such as haul roads, pipelines, ponds, overburdened soil stockpiles, things like that. Initial disturbance within the added area will be associated with a natural progression of an existing pit area that goes east to west. And there is a fact sheet that Jim has provided that talks about the location, of course, the size, the scheduling. Some work will begin pretty much immediately with some of the actual coal mining to take place or begin next year, with some new open pits being scheduled for sometime around 2014. So we're going to see it become active pretty quickly. Some interesting, I think, facts about this permit. Well, first of all, the size of it. In fact, when the application first came and I first heard about it, I thought, well, 16,009, that's nearly 17. And as I recall, my first year here, there was an application at Coteau for the West Mine, which was just over 17,000 acres. And of course, at that time, I thought, well, gee, we get these 17,000 acre permits all the time. And the reality is we don't. So this is a large one. One of the things I think that is interesting about this one, Randy, you might enjoy this or appreciate this, and maybe this comes up occasionally at the Christmas party, I don't know, but this now makes Falkirk the largest mine in North Dakota, does it not? At least in terms of permitted acres. It still doesn't mine as much coal as Coteau. Coteau mines about, I think, somewhere around 15 million tons. Falkirk somewhere around maybe 8 million, something like that. So at any rate, this brings the total permitted acres at Falkirk up to 51,752.2 acres. Coteau is just under 48,000 acres. Let's see, other interesting fact. It's largely cropland. In fact, the vast majority of it, pre-mine use is cropland, 72% of it, and it is expected, of course, that the post mine land use would be a similar percentage. Other than that, there's some fish and wildlife areas, of course, just some smaller things, roads and whatnot. Falkirk's extended mining plan shows that mining is expected at this permit area to continue until 2068, once again proving that you have to be an eternal optimist to be in the coal mining business. With that, I think everything is in order. Good work by the company, certainly good work by the reclamation staff. There was one surface owner that filed an objection. There was only one, and for a size this mine this large, I think that's pretty remarkable in and of itself. He objected to the terms of the lease that was signed, I think, by a previous generation. However, that was adjudicated in court, and everything seems to be in order. Let's see, with regard to the order itself, which I guess we should get to. With today's order, it includes, of course, a notice that any person with an interest or who thinks they might be adversely affected by this revision, they have 30 days to file with the commission a request for a formal hearing. Everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 KC2. I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the request of Bearpaw Energy, LLC, for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit for the construction of approximately 63 miles of natural gas liquids pipeline in McKenzie County, North Dakota, case number PU 1166.
Second.
I guess we did acknowledge a letter of intent on this some time ago. The 63.2-mile natural gas liquids pipeline would originate at Bearpaw Energy's Garden Creek processing facility just near, about within a couple of miles of Watford City. That is a plant that this commission sited last year and is expected to is under construction now. Of the 63.2 miles, 54.2 of them are in North Dakota. The other 9 miles are in Richland County, Montana, where this line would end at a terminal, which I believe is a rail terminal, and the natural gas liquids would be put on from taken from the pipeline, put onto the rail terminal, and shipped to market. It is a 10-inch pipeline. It's approximate or expected investment of about $24 million. The purpose is, of course, to transport field-grade natural gas liquids, which includes all the Thane brothers, you know, ethane, propane, butane, pentanes, all the liquids that in some processes and previously were considered sort of waste, but of course they have a place in the market, and we're pleased that all of those byproducts can make it to a market. They have various uses, and we can talk about that if you'd want later. Everything seems to be in order. The hearing is being noticed for, and by the way, this is a consolidated hearing for both the corridor certificate and the route permit. Is being scheduled for August 29th, 2011 at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the McKenzie County Courthouse in Watford City.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, KC3, to more typical revisions. I move the Commission conditionally approve revision number 24 to surface coal mining permit number KRSB8603, held by the Dakota Westmoreland Corporation, to identify the next five-year coal removal subareas and to update other information and mining and reclamation plans for the next five-year permit term.
Second.
This was an application filed in March. Again, pretty typical, identifying the next five-year coal removal subarea, addressing items requested by, of course, the Reclamation Division. Mining is expected to continue for many years at this mine and at this permit area, supplying coal to Coyote Station. And everything seems to be in order. And following this, we'll then, of course, have the motion to renew for the next 5 years.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And KC4, I move the Commission approve renewal number 5 to surface coal mining permit number KRSB8603, held by the Dakota Westmoreland Corporation, to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until August 7th, 2016.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
Very good. In the announcement packet, you have future Commission meetings that are listed. We do not have an informal this afternoon at 1:30. The next regular scheduled commission meeting is August 10th, which is a Wednesday at 10 a.m. There are a couple of formal hearings that are coming up and other meetings prior to that. I would just draw your attention to Tuesday, August 9th. We have a rulemaking hearing for two different cases in gas pipeline safety and in reclamation. And then prior to that, on Thursday, August 4th, we have work session scheduled for the advanced determination of prudence case in the CAFEX 2020 Group 1 application. With that, if there are no other comments or business to attend to, we will take questions.
Do you have a cost on the big stone retrofit?
We do. I can't remember if it's listed in this particular order. It what comes to mind is in the neighborhood of between $400 and $500 million.
So it's a scrubbing or do you know what kind of technology they're going to use?
Well, I can't recall the technical name for the technology itself. I can tell you that from an overall perspective, this highlights a very frustrating situation to me with Big Stone 2, which is this. The original Big Stone 2 that was applied for and the commission approved, and in fact every state that is involved with it approved, was, as we all know, eventually ground down through basically a strategy of litigation by a number of environmental groups and as well as others that became involved in recent years that basically made Big Stone 2 not feasible. That particular project would have just about or more than doubled the output of the combined plant. It would have done all of these. It would have retrofitted all of the control technologies, which will now be put on the old unit. It would have provided very low-cost power. It would have put out less pollutants total than are put out today, with a doubling of the power that's put out of that plant, all for a cost of, I think it was in the neighborhood of $1.2 billion, something like that. Now the companies have come before us, and they'll seek to make the case that this is still the best, next best resource after Big Stone 2, that they will retrofit an existing plant at a cost of $400 or $500 million. It will actually get less power out of it after the retrofit than it provides today, because the retrofit itself takes some power off the plant. And so you ask yourself, who won in this? Consumers didn't win. They're going to get higher cost power than they would have otherwise gotten. The environment didn't win because you would have had probably the cleanest operating coal plant in the country had this been allowed to move forward. I suppose some attorneys along the way and some special interest groups feel like they got a victory, but I don't think it was a victory for the environment or consumers. And this is kind of the next stage of what do we do after Big Stone 2 was basically halted because of politics and litigation.
And then just briefly on Falkirk, you said it will be the largest mine in the state?
In terms of permitted acres, it's the largest mine in the state. In terms of tons of coal mined per year, it's still second to Coteau.
On another subject entirely, have you received many complaints about Xcel's outages in Fargo and that area?
It depends on how you define many. We have received some complaints, and there have been a string of them, and there have been a number of different issues. The commission will be taking up these issues as part of the rate case. As you know, we had scheduled a work session, which had to be eventually delayed because of a flooding, and there were a number of other issues that just made it not feasible to hold the work session on Xcel reliability problems. I think what we have decided is that with the rate case pending, and a lot of these issues could come in, up in the rate case, it would be best to handle them as a part of that as opposed to a separate proceeding.
Dave, if I could, just a thought. I mean, Tony laid it out, I think, perfectly on what's going forward in the eastern part of the state, but it's always important to remind folks, too, that, you know, the major flooding that took place in Minot, I think the companies up there and Xcel being a major player, things went pretty well up there. So we got to keep all this in context, and we'll work through it in the rate case. But there's a lot going on out there in the state right now.
Yeah, I might add that the example that Commissioner Kalk uses with how well things went in Minot caused me to wonder why they can go so well in Minot and not go as well in Fargo in terms of reliability, and so I think that comparison actually is part of what we'll look at. Yeah, but they did do great work in Minot, and frankly, they did great work in Fargo during the flooding there as well. So we're grateful for that.
Anything else? All right, thank you. With that, we will close this portion of the meeting, and we will come back in about 10 minutes. We're going to have an administrative agenda. And at the very end of that administrative agenda, we will in all likelihood be going into executive session to deal with some litigation issues related to Grabansky Grain, which is a pending grain case. With that, we will see you back in 10 minutes.